Max, don't say all the funny bits before I hit record.
Oh, sorry. You got your fucking or fuck.
You scamp, you.
Welcome to Tapes and Scowls, where this is what you get in your ear holes.
How are your ear holes? Have you been cleaning them? Are you properly receiving this podcast?
I mean, they were just full of fuck a second ago.
Well, that's nothing new. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, our audience is filthy.
I love you guys. You're all just dirty and gross. I fucking love you.
Yeah.
So, Max.
Tim?
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I always want you to go first.
I know you do, and I usually say something and you're like, no, I got this, because this is off the rails already. But I'll go first for reals. For real, real.
Yep.
Not for play.
Okay.
Here we go. This is our, like 30-something-ish movie we're on now?
512, if I'm counting right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a good mathematician.
Thank you.
You're a good math guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what time it is? It's Manborg time.
Whoa.
Manborg.
Manborg.
I'm so excited. This is from 2011.
Okay.
My quest has ended. I have found the good bad movie.
Okay.
I watched this on March 24th and 25th.
Oh, boy.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. And no one could believe my ramblings. It had to be watched again.
Okay.
This is roughly an hour, a little over an hour.
Wow.
It actually is a little longer because there's a fake trailer for another horror movie at the end.
Okay.
Which adds to it, but it's technically not part of the movie, and that is for BioCop.
Okay.
Which is spectacular, and I hope somehow it becomes an actual thing.
Yeah, sure.
Genre is action, adventure, comedy, directed by Steven Kostansky, starring Matthew Kennedy, Adam Brooks, and Meredith Sweeney. Your description: a soldier brought back to life as a cyborg fights alongside a band of adventurers against demon hordes in a dystopian future.
Sure.
I enjoyed this movie so much.
You watched it twice.
I watched it twice, willingly. This movie is exactly as advertised by the movie's production team and online descriptions as a love letter to B-movies, sci-fi, and video games.
Nice.
Soldier is killed standing up to the leader of an invading demon horde on Earth, and he is later rebuilt as Manborg. If you like bad movies, it's a must-see. And there are characters in here that are obvious parodies of Mortal Kombat characters, other video game monsters. There's even a touch of Hellraiser. For some reason, one guy is just Billy Idol.
Nice.
He is essentially Billy Idol.
Nice. I like that. It seems like it's in very much the vein of Kung Fury.
Yes. Yes. This is absolutely like a long Kong. I want to say Hong Kong Fury. A long Kong Fury.
Got there. Jinx.
Oh.
Tim's not allowed to talk for the rest of the podcast.
Manborg! This movie is visually interesting to watch. It has a lot of special effects. They're not great, but that's kind of on purpose.
Like, sure.
Because there's times where it's not bad, and you're like, oh, they're doing this for a laugh.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, there's a scene where he's like fighting in an arena and he's fighting like this claymation monster that looks like complete ass, but like they own it so well.
Sure.
You just enjoy it.
And it's if it's claymation, kind of like that stop motion, you know, they're nodding to like Harryhausen movies and stuff like that, or the ripoffs of Harryhausen.
Right. It is so good.
Yeah.
And Manborg, he comes to and he realizes what has happened. He freaks out. It has so many great one-liners. The guy is clearly Liu Kang and Billy Idol and oh my god, the one girl's kind of Lara Crofty, and they just go fight these guys, and it's just
nice.
A constant kung fu battle. It has so many one-liners. I love this movie.
Excellent.
Max.
Where did you view it? Do you remember?
I believe this is on Amazon, which usually lets me down, so I was worried.
Yeah, sure.
But because I read the description of it, I think, on Amazon, was just like, this is, like, fun. Like, it is dumb on purpose. You will love it. And I'm
nice.
Like, ooh, dumb on purpose? Not just because we suck?
Right.
You got it.
I'm in.
So, I really like this movie, Max. 5.6 out of 10 is your IMDb score.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes gave it 89%.
Wait a second.
Wait for it.
This is the movie that scored higher than Black Dynamite, isn't it? Isn't it, Tim?
It is.
Isn't it, Tim?
It is. I've been waiting for this moment. Yes. This is the movie. If you understand what they're going for, like the critics clearly do, 89%.
Yeah, that's impressive.
The audience gave it 58%.
They missed the
exactly.
boat.
Exactly. You can see it, and IMDb always missed the boat. Sorry, IMDb.
You let people just run wild, IMDb, is your problem here.
I had so much fun watching this movie twice. I would watch it a third time right now. It got a 9 out of 10.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It happened. Now you have to watch it.
Yes.
To understand better than Black Dynamite.
I guess so. Jeez Louise. Like, holy cow. Like, can't go into this movie with higher expectations.
Oh, my God. You'll love it.
I hope so.
I think you'll love it.
I mean, I love Kung Fury, so it sounds like I'm in.
Yeah, I think you'll be in.
That's awesome.
And you didn't even hit me.
No.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen the movie yet.
Then you'll be hitting me.
So I'm going to just turn the ship right around, not in terms of not a good movie, but in terms of tone.
Sure.
I watched 1960s Eyes Without a Face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know the visuals of this character.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this was on Criterion Blu-ray that I watched. This I watched at some point this year. It is 1 hour and 30 minutes long, and the genre I wrote in as horror.
I imagine.
Drama thriller is not really getting me there.
It's... How many buzzwords can we use to not say horror?
Yeah, we just don't want to say horror. It is directed by a person with a very French name, Georges Franju, I'm going to go with.
Georges Franju.
Yeah, like it just kind of makes it sound like I know what I'm saying, right? I'm sure somebody out there vomited just now, but I'm sorry.
Oui, oui.
Starring Ida Scobe and Alida Valli. And the summary is, after the facial disfigurement of his daughter, Dr. Genese attempts to transplant faces of kidnapped women onto his daughter's face.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a pretty wild flick. It's very much one of the, like, you're following one woman who he's setting up to do this transplant. You're kind of watching as he gets closer and closer to the transplants actually being able to work. So you're kind of watching this woman like live her life, and she's like starting out on her own in this French city, and you're seeing this doctor get closer and closer, and their paths start to get closer and closer, and the tension mounts as you know that she's gonna have her face cut off and put on John Travolta, and it's gonna be pretty wild.
Wee, what a predicament.
But it is good. It is, there are some scenes that are very, very damaging for this point. The daughter's face looks really cool, and you do get to see it. She wears this awesome mask most of the movie. It's really good. It's tragic. You feel bad for her. You feel bad for, like, just the situation existing, but you kind of are repulsed by them because, you know, I mean, you don't know exactly what they want. It's just one of those movies where, like, it's intending for you to feel crappy and, you know what I mean, ask yourself questions, and it does a nice job pulling all that off.
It sounds like the best 1960s drama thriller I've ever heard of.
Yeah, right? Definitely not a horror movie or anything.
Do the special effects hold up by today's standards?
They're not bad. They shoot around a lot of what they need to make it work, but like the daughter's face looks cool, and you get to see some surgery bits and stuff, so you get like the kind of the flappy face. And it,
Did you squirm?
No, certainly not. But it looks cool. It's black and white as well, so I don't know if that's
probably
good.
Helps.
It helps a lot for sure. I think it's better. I don't know if it would work nearly as well in color. And this is early; would be early into the world of color.
Sure.
But it's I've noted it's very tense at points, and other times very depressing. And obviously, there's a strong sense of depression and dread throughout the whole movie. IMDb score is 7.7 out of 10. The critical score on Rotten Tomatoes out of 55 reviews was 98%.
Wow.
And the audience score was 87%. My score is close to the audience score. It's an 8.5 out of 10.
That's nice. You keep finding these good movies.
Yeah, yeah. It's so you went the route of a lot of Netflix and Amazon movies. I went the route of I can't not buy physical media.
Sure.
I'm not going to buy Manborg on physical. I mean, I may now.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't take a shot. You know what I mean?
Shout Factory.
Post-apocalyptic cyborg. Borg shark or whatever it was. I'm not.
I've already gotten it out of my mind.
Yeah.
Now that I talked about it.
I know there's
it.
A lot of buzzwords in it, so I'm just going for as much as I can.
Apocalyptic commando shark.
Commando shark. Yeah. So that's not one I'd grab on Blu-ray anytime soon.
Maybe for like a dollar.
I don't think so.
I just want to see this bonus features.
I'd look at the disc and put it back. I'd giggle because I'd think about you and then I'd put it back.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Well, I just want to talk about Manborg again, but I won't. I have another silly movie that is in the horror-ish genre, and this one surprised me. It's Bigfoot, the movie. Now, there's a lot of Bigfoot, the movies out
there. Oh, yeah, there is.
This one is from 2015. It is a comedy.
Okay.
Intentionally. Watch it on March 25th. It's 1 hour, 36 minutes. It doesn't really drag. It goes for a while, though. There's some of the scenes don't quite add up, but
sure.
In general, it's good. Directed by Jared Shaw, starring Kurt Wooten, Joni Dodds, and Jared Shaw.
Sure. How did he get their part?
I don't know. He blew the director.
Ah, I bet he did.
It's a really cool video. You got to check it out.
This is one really hairy dude. That's the video.
I forget which one of these guys is the guy you recognize from every movie, but he's in there.
Okay. Glad to see it.
They are a bunch of redneck characters in this movie. Essentially, Bigfoot has come to the town of Elwood City, PA, and is causing big problems. Now it's up to four town locals, Chuck, Dale, Burl, and Kate, to take him down.
Has there been a Burl since Burl Ives? Come on.
Not a real Burl.
No.
He's a Burl of a man.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is a very funny take on the Bigfoot story. It's a bunch of drunk, hickish, I know we're in PA, but like drunk, hick kind of characters who discuss, well, I mean, yeah.
In
but
PA, there's a lot of those.
There is, but you always think the South.
Yeah, no, this but, PA
we got them too.
PA, very capable.
Very capable.
Yes. Very capable of producing, you know, Children of the Mountain up there.
Sho and Wooten are writers on the movie as well, and it helps with the chemistry as far as the acting. They know what they're going. They're capable of acting, which is great because they know what they want to do and they are conveying it themselves.
Here's my comfort zone. Yes. I'm going to write myself in my comfort zone.
Right, and it's like, well, I'm just going to run into that wall.
Yep.
Yeah. No, just do it. You do got it. Yeah. It'll look the best if you run into it.
Bigfoot the movie.
Goofy movie, but not so far as to be slapsticky. It's not like Naked Gun or anything like that.
Right.
The silly never tones down, so when a more serious moment happens, it feels a little out of place.
Okay.
It's definitely meant to be a fun redneck versus critter movie, and to that point, it succeeds very well.
Good.
I enjoyed it. Just hard to give it really high marks. The original plot for Bigfoot is just kind of hidden under all the silliness.
Sure.
Basically, Bigfoot pops up in PA in the foresty kind of mountainy area. There's this wealthy philanthropist kind of character who is capturing Bigfoot because he has another one. And he wants to breed it and make like a sideshow kind of thing.
Okay.
So he's looking at it with dollar signs.
Gotcha.
It takes them a while to get to this plot because they're not detectives. They're not policemen. They're just really drunk redneck guys.
Sure.
And their stakes in it is they have one of their friends in one of the earlier scenes get mauled to death by Bigfoot and they're out for revenge.
Gotcha.
Very simple plot. Goes some places you wouldn't expect. There is an exterminator kind of character that is one of these men who gets added in about halfway as a main character.
Hmm.
And once he shows up, it's like, well, I got all the guns. Let's go shoot the dang thing.
Okay.
Know? That kind of thing. This movie's fun. It's not great, but it's fun. It's worth a watch.
It's no Manborg.
It's about half a Manborg, I guess.
Oh, half a Manborg. Okay.
You're just half the Manborg you used to be. What, I can pun? I kid. So the IMDb score is a 5.8 out of 10. Does not have a critic score.
Okay.
It does have an audience score out of 33 people who bothered to watch this. It got a 70%.
Okay.
I give it a 5.5.
Okay.
It's watchable. I recommend you watch it with your friends and you're in the mood to watch something dumb on purpose.
Sure.
It works.
Did you watch this one with your wife?
I did not.
I feel like that'd be a tough one to sell her on.
She watched Manborg with me, though.
Did she like it?
She loved it.
She loved it. Nice.
Loved it.
Okay.
And she's like, I don't like your dumb movies. I go, I know. I'm not making you watch The Bigfoot.
Did she watch the first viewing of Manborg or the second?
The second.
Okay.
Because I raved about it so much.
Nice.
They're like, no way. We got to watch this. I was like, trust me. You won't believe it. So when Manborg first appears, all right, there's a scene where he realizes what it's all very shocking to him. And these evil, demonic police kind of characters come up and they're like, halt. And he goes, nope. And he just turns around and walks away.
Wow.
It's this really silly delivery. It sells it so good.
Nice.
He's like, nope.
Nice.
It's great. Just watch Manborg, everybody. Take us home, bud.
Sure. I did not watch Manborg, but I did watch Summer of 84, which came out in
Summer of 84.
It was. It was. It also came out in 2018.
I noticed that.
Yeah. I watched it sometime.
Sure did.
And it is 1 hour and 46 minutes, and the genre is mystery.
Ooh.
So this movie is directed by the triumvirate known as Roadkill Superstar.
Oh my God.
Who did Turbo Kid.
Okay.
So Turbo Kid is quite awesome. So if you get a chance and you haven't seen Turbo Kid, please watch Turbo Kid. Then watch this because it's quite good. Rich Sommer is in this, and Tierra Scovby? Sorry. Tierra. It's about Davy Armstrong, and he is a child who is convinced that his police officer neighbor is actually a serial killer. So with the help of his friends, they begin to investigate his theory, and it's set in the summer of 84.
When I realized this was like a modern take on kids go on an adventure, I was like, oh my God, this is, could there be any more of a Max movie?
No, 100% no. It's very, very much riffing on like a Goonies or Stranger Things kind of vibe, because there's a lot of synthesizer in this. There's a lot of throwbacky nostalgia, you know, just beloved 80s good stuff. It's really crazy. My bullet points throughout the movie is in very large text. Holy cow, things go haywire. So this movie is 1 hour and 46 minutes. The first 1 hour and 30 minutes... the first 1 hour and 30 minutes, you think it's one movie, and then the last 15 minutes, it just grabs you by the nipples and twists as hard as it can. Because it's like, you do not see what, like, I was completely flummoxed by what happened.
Wow.
Like,
and it was ultimately a good flummox.
It was not bad. It was just completely different.
Huh.
It was, I'd say it was not bad. It didn't make it negative.
Okay.
And you kind of start to see it coming. You're like, wait a second. Why is the movie still going? Oh, boy. Oh, God. And then it just gets worse. Mm. It's like, oh, man, this is bad. I know that the soundtrack is great. The atmosphere is really solid. All the kids do a really nice job. They're like mid to late teens, probably 15, 16 years old. So like sophomore, juniors in high school. They still have like the old tree fort that's kind of falling apart. They still use walkie-talkies because it's an 80s kids movie. And that's a thing we do these days because apparently every kids in 80s movies can afford walkie-talkies somehow. And yeah, it's overall a really well-spun tale, in my opinion.
Nice.
IMDb gives it a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it critically a 70% with 56 reviewers. Audience was 66, and I was right in there. I gave it, I guess, a little higher than the critics. I gave it 7.5 out of 10 because Kids Going on an Adventure is my jam.
Yeah, it is. It is so your jam.
But it's fun. It's cool. It gets crazy at the end. I don't want to say too much because if you haven't seen it, you're going to know something's coming now, which is a bit of a excited. I mean, literally, it slapped me in the face because I had no idea what was coming. I was like, this is cool. I like Turbo Kid. And then it was just like the last 15 minutes, I was like, holy shit. Just completely completely flummoxed by it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen enough anymore.
No. Real good stuff.
Fantastic.
Not as good as Manborg.
Well, not anything can ever be.
Yeah, I suppose
there's
not.
There's no tens on here. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh, you had a 9.5, didn't you?
Invisible Man.
Mm. All right. That's good company. He goes Invisible Man, then it goes Manborg.
Anything with man in the title.
Yeah, that's Hollywood. Get at us. We figured it out.
Yep.
I got all kinds of men. Wait, that's weird.
I mean, my movie script, Man-Man, just sitting over there waiting.
Man-Man.
It's got to be the best movie ever made.
Man-Man. Good night, everybody.